Thank you, Sue, for that very thoughtful prayer. Sometimes we pray for preachers because this one needs a lot of extra help, Lord. Lovely. I want to speak today about a culture, a change of culture. In other words, how do we take Christian faith to Britain today in 2015? Because many of us grew up in a culture that made assumptions, especially about God and about religion. For example, if you weren't, I don't want to offend anybody here, but if you weren't anything odd, then they assumed you were Church of England. That was kind of the default, wasn't it? So a lot of people thought, well, I'm just Church of England. In court, people took their oath upon the Bible. Well, of course they did. Everyone believes in God, don't they? In school, you might have had scripture lessons or perhaps divinity lessons to learn your faith. You got christened in church. You got married in church. You were buried from church. That was the assumption, the background, wasn't it? And then, of course, two world wars shook that culture, and we've seen all sorts of articles about the effect of that, perhaps on our television or whatever. And the 60s saw a fresh rebellion against the received worldview. But to be honest, there wasn't much that came in to fill the vacuum. And so the next generation now don't have an awful lot to rebel against, frankly. No sort of assumed culture and background and settled assumptions to reject. People today are often curious, but with very little background or knowledge. I think, in a sense, in our readings, they were somewhat in that position. John the Baptist, his baptism was a preparation for something to come, but nobody was quite sure what. He produced expectation amongst the people, but they weren't quite sure what it was that was coming. They knew what their culture was, Judaism. They just weren't quite sure what the future would look like. What's that hairy man saying? What's he on about? Something about sandals? What's that got to do with it all? What's that, John? The Holy Spirit, you say? What on earth is that? I wonder perhaps if our culture today is seeking, expectant, waiting. Some people are definitely not. They've decided that they have all they need. Christmas shopping, gadgets, money, cars. But there are others who are looking for more. People who see things going wrong in the world around us. ISIS, the French murders, and the siege, Ebola, the NHS in crisis. People who perhaps have tried shopping, but found that it's a bit like eating sweets. You get a quick high, but it doesn't give lasting fulfillment or satisfaction. They're looking for something beyond our consumer culture. I think there are people who are seeking today. Then again, Paul's travels in Acts 19, that we just heard that story read, how Paul found a people who were between two cultures, like they'd fallen between two stools. The reading said, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. The interior sounds a bit like the Badlands, doesn't it? There he found some disciples. I don't know how he knew they were disciples. Maybe the Spirit told him. Maybe they'd heard about Jesus and believed in him. But their conversion was incomplete. They had half a gospel. They were between two cultures. And Paul starts from what they knew. John the Baptist, his baptism. What was that about? His message of preparation and expectation, his baptism of repentance. And then Paul goes on and explains the steps that they hadn't yet heard about. And the disciples in Ephesus accepted what he said. They signed up for change. They said, we want this Jesus. We want to be baptized into Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. This week, the Pope addressed his staff in the Roman Curia, his bishops and cardinals and so on, and they expected him to give the comfortable annual review of what they'd achieved. But instead, they got a dressing down for all the failures of their profession. And there were some very stony faces in the Vatican. But this Pope knows that the world is changing, and changing fast. And the church must wake up and smell the coffee. How can we change in our church? How can we adapt so that we can take Jesus to our culture today, to the world around? Several years ago now, our bishop, Bishop Stephen, wrote this document, Transforming Presence. And it's a vision for Chelmsford Diocese, for the churches in Essex and northeast London, a vision of how we can change, how we can be a transforming presence in our culture today. And he highlights four ways that we can do that. The first way is inhabiting the world distinctively, living out our faith amongst non-Christians, our neighbours and friends. We can't hide away in a sort of Christian ghetto, either here in church on Sundays or in some sort of separate culture. We have to live it out amongst non-Christians. We have to be Christians to our neighbours on Mondays, to our workmates on Tuesdays, to our family and friends on Wednesdays, and so on. And we have to be distinctive amongst them. That means different, truly Christian. Not odd and weird, but loving and caring, being Christ-like, being full of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Don't hide your lamp under a bushel, but let it shine for the world to see." Inhabiting the world distinctively. Secondly, we need to be evangelizing effectively. Now, don't be frightened of that word, because John the Baptist told the people about the Christ who was coming. Jesus told people about the kingdom of God. Paul told the disciples in Ephesus about Jesus and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. I think every one of us has to be willing just to say a little about Jesus. Maybe just tell your story. How is it that you believe? What is it that, did something happen to you? Or did you come to a realization? Why is it that you worship him? Tell a little of your personal story, very simply, but clearly. That is actually a responsibility on us. If we don't, Jesus actually warned his disciples that he would not acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. Inhabiting the world distinctively, evangelizing effectively. Thirdly, serving with accountability. What does that mean? Well, I don't know if you've found this, but I've found if you mention the church to people, they will come back with all the bad stuff that they've heard. Prejudice against women and gays, paedophile clergy, boring services. All the things they've heard about the church. So we have to be willing, I think, to clean up our act, to be transparent, to fess up about the things that are wrong. We can't just say, that's not true, it doesn't happen. We can't just deny it and tough it out anymore. Because if we do, we damage the gospel of Jesus in the eyes of the world. Now, I know that all the bureaucracy, all the checkups, all the forms and everything are tiresome. Health and safety and child protection and all that stuff. I know it's a nuisance. But we're doing it for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. We're doing it so that the world will not accuse us of all that bad stuff. Serving with accountability. And then lastly, fourthly, reimagining ministry. Clergy in my age group are retiring at the rate of knots. We are ordaining more. Yes, we are. We're ordaining more than ever before. But inevitably, many parishes will still be left without their vicar in the next few years. Aldham already manage. I live here, as many of you know, and I have to go across to Aldham to take services and visit people and so on. It'll be like that for many, many churches in the future. And so what we have to do is we have to develop a ministry of our own here in the church and in Mark's Tay. And we have to cooperate more with other churches, working together in the local area. Tomorrow night, your wardens and I are going to pop across to Fordham and say hi to Fordham PCC and hopefully convince them that we're not weird or strange or odd or whatever they've heard, but to actually begin to talk to one another and start a conversation. There's a change of culture going on in Britain. It's not like it was when we grew up. People don't know the stories in the Bible anymore. You see that on television quizzes, don't you? People get asked, well, who was David? They don't know. Who was Goliath? They don't know anymore. They don't want to come into the building anymore. I find at weddings and baptisms, people hang around outside. They're frightened of stepping in through the door. We have to take Jesus out to them in our behavior and in our lifestyle, in our deeds and in our words, and offer to help them, to bless them, to pray for them. And the thing that surprises everyone who does it is that it's actually not that difficult. It's actually quite exciting and quite fun. Because people begin to respond. You begin to see people saying, "Oh, does God love me? Does God care for me? How wonderful. Tell me more." No longer are people as resistant as they were sometimes in the past. As Helen told us at the beginning, it's a year now since Paul Green commissioned our prayer ministry team. And since then, we've been offering prayer, not only in the church, but also outside in the community and so on. I love to just offer to pray for people out in the streets or on their doorstep or whatever. It's exciting to actually be a Christian out in the world today. And many of you have had that experience or you've been able to say something about your faith. Let's pray that we can indeed be salt and light in our culture and in the world today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your gospel, your good news to the world in need. Help us to find a way to bring Christ to our friends and neighbours, to those we live amongst. Help us to be spirit-filled Christians in the world around. In Jesus' name, amen.